April has seen no shortage of reports of new scientific discoveries, including some really interesting ones. So here are 10 interesting scientific discoveries for April of 2026. Number 10. The mystery of the formation of Saturn's rings may be solved. One of the great mysteries of Saturn is that its ring system appears young. It does not look to date from the formation of that planet. And indeed, it is slowly disappearing, and someday will no longer exist. But if that is the case, then what formed it? As it turns out, it may be tied to the formation of Titan as it is today, and a huge collision in the relatively recent history of Saturn. This involves several mysteries regarding Saturn, one of which is that Saturn's wobble doesn't agree with models that say it should be linked to Neptune. Something decoupled it, which led to a hypothesis that a moon may have been responsible for that, which at the time was named Chrysalis. At some point, Chrysalis got tossed gravitationally too close to Saturn and was torn apart, and that formed the rings and destabilized the wobble, and also messed up the moon Iapetus's orbit and made it strangely eccentric. New simulations, however, show that Chrysalis, in order to do this, would have had to collide with Titan, which also means that it can't have been the material that formed the rings. If you add in that Chrysalis collided with Titan, or proto-Titan, it would have resulted in a fit for the fact that Titan has a relatively young-looking surface with few craters, and an eccentric orbit. Over time, that orbit would have resulted in collisions of smaller moons closer to Saturn, and thus the ring system was formed as they slowly ground each other down. Number 9. Mars once had a third moon. There has been a strange anomaly detected at Mars's Gale Crater, where NASA's Curiosity rover is operating. Gale Crater was specifically chosen for the location of that mission because it had been long realized that this particular crater was showing evidence of the past action of water in this crater. Now that story has gotten a little bit more complicated and revealed something surprising. Researchers recently have found traces of what appears to have been tidal activity. In short, at some point in time, the water on Mars was being affected by tides. These tides are not explained by Mars's moons as they are today, Phobos and Deimos, but rather the researchers calculated that the presence of a much larger moon, about 15 to 18 times the mass of Phobos, the larger current moon that once orbited Mars, but it no longer does. They detected the presence of a type of layered sedimentary rock called a rhythmite, which indicates variability in the time the materials were laid down. These rocks also show evidence of mud drapes, which are very similar to this type of rock on Earth. While not proven yet, this is just a strong hint. The question has to be asked, whatever happened to this larger moon? Number 8. Dinosaurs are becoming more colorful. One of the more famous types of dinosaur is the Diplodocus, a long-necked sauropod. We've known for a long time that the dinosaurs and the birds are intimately related, but in recent decades we've learned that they are actually closer than had been earlier thought. One example is the T-Rex. It had colorful feathers, a far cry to what it was envisioned to look like just a few decades before. But now the Diplodocus has been changed as far as its image. Tiny structures seen in samples of fossilized skin show that these dinosaurs may have been very brightly colored in their own right. The samples were from Montana, and while they couldn't be directly linked to Diplodocus, there was some evidence and reason to believe that they were. When the fossil samples were looked at under the microscope, which wasn't an impression, it was fossilized skin, they saw on the cellular level evidence of melanosomes, diverse ones, which would have led to multicolored skin. Unfortunately, it's unclear based on this evidence just what colors were present, but there is the potential here that they had a varying array of coloring patterns on their skin, much like birds do with their feathers. Only time and more research will glean more if it's possible. Number 7. Conquering frostbite. Frostbite and hypothermia stand among the greatest enemies of anyone braving a cold, harsh environment from mountain climbing to polar exploration. However, there may be a new way to combat both of them before they even set in. Researchers in Spain have genetically engineered a strain of bacteria Cutibacterium acnes that is already abundantly present on healthy human skin, using CRISPR to change a protein involved with the bacterium producing energy. They also changed a gene in another group of the same bacteria to alter heat sensitivity. The end result is ultimately a modified bacteria that can sense heat conditions and express heat as temperatures drop, in the form of a probiotic cream that can be applied to the skin when in cold environments. Further work is needed on getting the bacteria to sense cold. They currently only sense increased heat. But once that's solved, it's already been shown that the bacteria survive being suspended in a cream. Next is to determine just how much the bacteria can heat the skin whenever dangerous cold is detected. But if it's enough, it will provide a first-line defense against both hypothermia and frostbite. There will be a limit to what it can do, but at least it's a start. Number 6. The coming age of sun satellites. We live in an age where satellites are becoming increasingly controversial, with satellite constellations like Starlink already creating problems for astronomy, but also showing great utility as a broadband internet service, available globally in areas that did not have access to it. But now there's a new idea that will very likely prove to be even more controversial, and it's sunshine on demand, provided by reflective satellites. The idea is to provide reflected sunlight on demand to places on Earth for temporary visibility or power generation. On the power generation side, the idea is to launch thousands of satellites that can provide 200 watts per square meter to solar arrays on the ground. This is comparable to twilight levels here on Earth, so this won't be on level with full-on sunlight. That's ultimately, however, the constellation will start out producing far less. Now it has to be said, a system like this can always be turned off, meaning that when not reflecting, they wouldn't be any worse than any other satellite constellations on their effects on the night sky. The problem is that when you have thousands of reflectors in orbit, they're going to glint particularly severely as they reorient their mirrors no matter what, which will create a compounded problem for astronomy. Whether this actually turns out to be feasible or profitable remains to be seen, but it does show that we do indeed live in a brave new world as far as satellite constellations go. Number 5. Rubies and Sapphires on Mars. Recently, the Perseverance rover discovered something geologically that wasn't unexpected. These should be there, but represent a cool find nonetheless. The rover found evidence of tiny stones inside larger Martian rocks composed of the mineral corundum. Depending on the trace elements that color this mineral, it is known as ruby and sapphire here on Earth, and is very hard material, making it industrially useful even if it has no color at all for use as a precious gemstone. The instrument that detected it is known as SuperCam, and it can use lasers to vaporize samples and then determine what chemicals are present in the vapor, revealing what minerals are there. They actually tested 3 separate rocks and found corundum present in all of them, so it clearly is not rare in that area on Mars. These probably were not formed the same way as on Earth, however. On Earth, these minerals are associated with plate tectonics and its action and geology, but on Mars, this is not the case. And instead, these are probably related to impact events that heat and compress dust that forms the corundum. Unfortunately, the crystals are very small, only about 0.2 millimeters, which means it was impossible to remotely tell what color they were, and if in fact they could be called rubies or sapphires. Number 4. A leap in brain cryopreservation. Whether one thinks having oneself frozen upon death in hopes of someday being reanimated when whatever killed them can be treated successfully is a good idea or not, the fact is it's been done since the 1960s. But early attempts at this suffered from the problem of freezing brain tissue. The cells of the brain basically get destroyed and torn up by the freezing process, and probably cannot be repaired without severe advances in blood nanotechnology. Think centuries for that. And even then, there's no guarantee that a brain can come back to the same level of functionality that it had when originally alive. But there have been recent advances here in making the cryopreservation of a brain much more easily done. better preserving the neurons of the brain. Now, this seems to have made a major leap. Here, the focus is on preserving the information contained in the brain, the memories, in such a way that they can be extracted in the future and the person reconstructed rather than biologically woken up. A number of other problems present themselves here. The process of neurons breaking down begins very rapidly after death, so immediate cryopreservation is essential, or you risk losing any information present in those cells. But if you can freeze the body fast enough, there is a chance. The first step in the new process, which was tested on a pig brain, is to immediately start removing the blood and introducing chemicals that immediately fix the position and condition of cells on a molecular basis. They replace the water in cells with chemicals, cryoprotectants, which prevents the formation of damaging ice crystals. They then cool the brain to sub-zero temperatures, where it can stay for centuries unaltered. It turns out, so long as the process is started within 14 minutes of death of the brain tissue, the process preserved the brain in a very high state. This allows for the reconstruction of every important chemical and structural detail of a brain for reconstruction. In short, this method does not really allow for the original brain to be brought back. The process is toxic in other ways, but allows for reconstruction. Obviously, the kicker here is that a reconstruction of a person's brain is just that. It's not the original person. So whatever would result, no matter what, would be a copy, but a separate entity from the original. Number 3. New insight on Earth's magnetic field and it's weird. For a number of years now, it's been known that there are two mysterious blobs that surround the Earth's core deep in its interior. One is roughly under Africa, and the other is under the Pacific Ocean, and they extend 1,000 kilometers from the outer core up into the mantle. They are known to be different material than the rest of the material in that area, due to how they transmit seismic waves. These blobs are thought to possibly be the remains of Theia, the impactor that threw a somewhat glancing blow threw off the material that would coalesce into the moon, explaining why the geology of Earth and the moon chemically are almost identical. Weirdly, there is also a hypothesis that the core of this once Mars-sized object might have continued on after the blow missing its mantle, which happens to describe the planet Mercury very well, because it basically appears to be the core of a formerly much larger planet. Regardless of their origin, the plumes at the outer core may be the remnants of Theia, or part of it. Researchers were studying geological evidence of the history of Earth's magnetic field and how it changed over time, and found that it correlated with the activities of the two blobs. This in turn changed the heat profile of the Earth deep down, and may have played a significant role in moderating and stabilizing the magnetic field as we see it today. The geologic evidence showed that over time, Earth's magnetic field was not always symmetrical as it is today, more or less. What this may mean for the conditions of Earth's habitability is an open question, but if it helped play a role here by stabilizing the magnetic field, then that might tick a box in the direction of Earth being a rare type of planet indeed. Basically a product of chance that doesn't happen very often in the universe. Number 2. A mysterious new structure found in the human brain. There's no question that the human brain is unbelievably complex. Indeed, it is a strong contender for one of the most complex systems present in the universe, barring the brains of complicated aliens. But now it has gotten even more complex and mysterious with the discovery of a previously unknown network of what may be lymphatic vessels that serve a function in how the brain clears waste, opening up the possibility of a new avenue of research for diseases like Alzheimer's. This network is very poorly understood right now, having just been discovered, and it's still possible that the network is really an artifact of how the imaging was done, and doesn't actually represent a coherent structure. What role these potential networks play in eliminating wastes from the brain needs more study, but it is promising in that if it is real and does play that role, can it be dilated to promote more removal of dangerous waste in the brain that contributes to diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's, leading to the possibilities of new treatments? Number 1. Two extinct marsupials found to still be living. add two more entries to the list of animals that we were virtually certain had gone extinct in the distant past, but it turns out they never did. Two marsupials that were previously only known from fossils in Australia have been found to still exist on islands off the coast of New Guinea that were discovered with the help of local indigenous peoples. Known as the ring-tailed glider and the pygmy long-fingered opossum have been photographed. They were believed to have gone extinct, at least in Australia, 6,000 years ago. Unfortunately, both are under threat due to logging and habitat loss. Interestingly, one of the contributing factors for the ring-tailed glider may have been the fact that the locals actively believed these animals were sacred and should be preserved, leading them to not tell anyone that they were there until recently. But they only told the scientists who are keeping the exact location of their habitat secret to keep wildlife traders from harvesting them. The fact is, both species are very specialized in their diet, and it's highly unlikely to be able to keep one alive in captivity. So the scientists are warning traders that collecting them for sale as pets is not viable. Thanks for listening. I'm futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently having mixed feelings and even a little anxiety over the de-extinction of something known as the pygmy long-fingered opossum, which does not sound like something I'd want to meet in a dark jungle given my experiences with the Event Horizon possum, if he is indeed a possum. That's just what Anna tells me. I have my doubts. I think I'll avoid that particular island and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular, in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.